Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR, and we're very pleased to be able to chat with Garrett Graff, who joins us by telephone. He's the author of a brand new book just published entitled The Only Plane in the Sky, an Oral History of 9/11, the terrorist attacks which occurred 18 years ago, believe it or not, 18 years ago this year. You know, just talking about this, Garrett, I get chills again thinking of, I can remember I was in the newsroom that morning. It was sometime around 9 o'clock. I don't remember the exact time, but there were reports of a plane hitting one of the buildings at the World Trade Center. And my first thought was, well, you know, this has happened before. We've had planes actually hit the Empire State Building. I mean, you know, it must have been a Piper Cessna or Piper or something like that that accidentally flew into it. And nobody knew. And then suddenly there was another plane that hit the World Trade Center, and there was some video. And then another jetliner crashed into the Pentagon, and we just went, wow, what the heck is going on here? It was just chaos. I mean, nobody knew what it was. As you mentioned earlier, nobody knew how many other planes had been hijacked by terrorists and were on the way somewhere.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that working on this project underscored to me that I think we forget a lot today was just how innocent America truly was on the morning of September 11th. You know, you hear people say 9/11 changed everything. You know, you hear people talk about the post 9/11 world, but we don't do a good job of remembering what the pre 9/11 world was like. And that was one of the things that really stood out to me as I was working on this book, is the stories of how innocent America was. So the most fascinating moment of 9/11 for me is that time between 8:46 in the morning when that first plane hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center, and then 9:03 a.m. when the second plane hits the South Tower. And you saw in those 17 minutes just the sheer innocence of America. I quote a New York ferry captain who watched that first plane hit, continued around to the tip of Lower Manhattan, dropped off his boatload of commuters, and every single one of them got off the boat and went to work in Lower Manhattan that day, even after seeing that first crash. That sort of no one on that boat looked at it and said, you know, that seems weird. I'm just going to go home for the day. And that really, that was how most of America reacted to that first plane. But as you said, many people thought it was a small plane. Many people assumed it was an aviation accident, thought it was a problem with air traffic control, or maybe the pilot had had a heart attack. And now you'd see, you know, last month that video of a motorcycle backfiring in Times Square, and everyone runs for their life. You see the how today we default to imagining that it's a terrorist incident, an attack, a mass shooting, until we hear otherwise. That sort of our default position has now changed as we have lost that innocence.
Yeah, complete about face. I was also struck, I'd forgotten, reading your book, I'd forgotten what a gorgeous day it was in so much of the United States. It was just not a cloud in the sky, a blue September sky, peaceful day. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, and that, to many people, is one of the most striking parts of the day, is that it was an aviation phenomenon known as severe clear. And that blue sky sort of up and down the East Coast is part of what makes all of the photos and video of that day so striking.
Do you know anything about the president's plane? It was Air Force One. As I recall from the news stories, it was not public knowledge just where President Bush was. I mean, there was speculation, but he was hopscotching to various air bases all over the country. Who was on the plane with him on Air Force One?
Well, when they took off from Sarasota, Florida, they initially just circled over the Gulf of Mexico for a while. until they sort of figured out a plan. And eventually they went to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana and then on to Offutt Air Force Base outside Omaha, Nebraska. And so the sort of normal staff was on board for that first leg of the trip, and then they left most of the staff and guests on the ground in Barksdale and went on for the rest of the day with a skeleton crew and just a couple of reporters to keep tabs on the president. And it really was sort of one of the most remarkable things about the president's experience that day was how cut off he was. 7 miles above the earth, flying at 45,000 feet, the highest that the plane could fly. And he was, this was 2001. There was no email on Air Force One. There was no cable or satellite TV. And so they were basically having rabbit ears antennas that were picking up, local TV news broadcasts as they flew over the southern United States. And as they flew over a major city, they'd have television coverage for a couple of minutes, and then they would fly on and lose it until they got to the next city. And in many ways, as stunning as it sounds, the President of the United States on 9/11 knew less than the average American sitting at home watching CNN on their television.
This is the kind of fascinating tidbits you'll find in Garrett Graff's book. By the way, did they scramble fighters? I mean, they didn't know what was going to happen. Did they scramble a fighter escort for Air Force One while it was hopscotching around?
They did. There were multiple fighters that were scrambled, actually, from the President Bush's old National Guard unit in Texas, coincidentally, who joined Air Force One to fly across the country. And eventually they added to that fighter escort and even had an air refueling tanker that joined them in order to help keep the fighters in the air as the Air Force One circled the country.
Has there been any late news, Garrett Graff, on the plane that was allowed to take off and transport some Saudis back to Saudi Arabia on that day?
We did see... I guess it was probably a year or two ago, the last remaining or part of the last remaining bit that is classified of the 9/11 Commission report and the Congressional Joint Inquiry dealing with Saudi Arabia's role in helping to finance the 9/11 attacks. So we have learned a little bit more about that. I'm not sure that we have ever gotten to the bottom of that.
The title of the book is The Only Plane in the Sky, An Oral History of 9/11. Some really, really interesting information in this book by the author Garrett Graff, who's visited with us for the last few minutes. Nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure.